Amen. Aren't you thankful we get to praise him now and forevermore? I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We began studying this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5 at verse 4. We've made it all the way down to verse 12, and we're going to go back and read through where we've made it so far to get started this afternoon. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray. And if you'll remain standing, then we'll read the text together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 4. Brother Ben, will you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Amen. Please be seated. So thus far, we've made it through just a couple of points here, and we're going to kind of pick up where we left off. But we want to live faithfully as children of light to start. And then number two, we talked about this. We need to encourage one another with the hope of life in Christ. Amen. And now we're talking about living together in peace, patience, and active love. And at verse 12, he said, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." We want to know those that God has placed over us in positions of authority, those who would labor and who would help us to know the Lord more. And we would acknowledge them, we would appreciate them, we would respect them because of the work that they're doing in Christ. And it's all about him. And I want to tell you, ultimately, everything is all about him. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3, Peter writes, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples," or we might say examples, "to the flock." And we understand that God has placed leaders in the churches. He gave first, there were apostles, and then there were prophets, and then there were evangelists, and then there were pastors and teachers. But all of these leaders in the churches from the very beginning, God set them up to help other people be matured so that all of us can do the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 teaches us, that we would continue and that we would look to them and he says here to acknowledge them or esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And there's a balance that God gives in the church. We know that he gives leaders, and those leaders have a place of authority, and we know that the church has responsibility, and it's a checks and balances so that we all stay faithful and accountable to one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then he says that we want to have peace. We need to cultivate peace and be at peace among yourselves. This word peace means to live in peace and to cultivate concord and harmony. It's a present command. Peace isn't just something that we were given by Jesus in the past, and it's not something that we long for in the future, but peace is something we want to strive for continually. And biblical peace means that we are going to deliberately refuse to allow there to be any lack of peace. We're not going to allow disagreement or disappointment or hurt to destroy our fellowship one with another.
Amen.
We're not going to let that happen. Listen, there's going to be times, we talked about it this morning, we're a family, and in the church, like in life, we're going to have problems, we're going to have conflict, but we can't allow that conflict to destroy the peace that God's given us with each other.
Amen.
So we got to find a way to work through that, and we can only do that by the grace of God, remembering how he's loved us and how we need to love one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I'm going to tell you, it's something you got to fight for. This word endeavoring has the idea like it's a long, arduous journey, like it's a difficult and long path to get there. Like it's a long journey to strive for peace, but that's what he wants us to do. And humility is absolutely essential because pride makes the conflict worse.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I know that none of you in the room today understand pride. You've never had that in yourself. You only see it in others. But should there come a day that pride were to be in your own heart, I want to tell you, it's only going to make things worse.
Amen.
We have to have meekness because if we don't control the power that we have or the strength that we think we have, we're going to injure other people.
Amen.
Meekness is power under control.
Amen.
You have the power, you have the ability to lash out, to react, to act against somebody, but meekness means that you hold back that power.
Amen.
You keep it under control. Patience is essential because if we're going to grow together and there's going to be healing, then we have to have time for that to happen. Time, healing takes time. Forbearance is essential because we have to deal with each other.
Amen.
To forbear literally means to kind of put up with. But when there's burden or disappointment or frustration, we have to learn to forbear one another. And it's all rooted in love.
Amen.
Because he loves us, we love him. And because we love him, we have to love one another.
Amen.
We got to look to people according to their actual spiritual need. We have to look towards the needs of other people and not ourselves. And I can't do that if I don't know. So we have to have communication. We have to have a relationship. We have to have a knowledge of one another. This is important, and we understand it sometimes in relationships like the husband and wife. The husbands are instructed to dwell with their wives in knowledge. You're supposed to know them to understand them, and we understand that. Guys, if you're dumb and you don't know your wife, you're going to have a hard time. But if you'll work at knowing her and understanding her, it's going to get better for you. But you know, it's not just for the relationship between husbands and wives. We all have to strive to know each
Amen.
Other,
Amen.
To have a relationship with each other so that we can meet those spiritual needs. Now, Paul is going to move into some spiritual conditions, and he gives some specific responses to those. And I want you to look at it. First, he says, warn the unruly. Unruly is used of soldiers who were out of rank. And it came to describe people who were disorderly, irresponsible, or idle. So he says, warn the unruly. So some of you guys were in the military, and if a guy doesn't do what he's supposed to do, if he's disobeying orders, if he's getting out of line, there's repercussions for that. He's going to get in trouble, right?
Amen.
Well, we are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got a lane we need to stay in. We've got a role that we need to fulfill. We've got a job to do. And we don't want to get out of line. We don't want to get out of rank. We want to be orderly and in the roles that God wants us to have.
Amen.
So if we love somebody, it doesn't mean that we're going to refuse to correct them. We want to warn those that are unruly so they'll get back in line for the way Jesus wants them to act.
Amen.
So we have a hard time with this sometimes. We want to forgive somebody who is out of line, but that doesn't mean there's no correction. Okay, help me out. If you raise your kids and you are always forgiving and always loving and you never correct them, is that good?
No.
Is that loving?
No.
Is that right?
No.
If you love them, you're going to correct them.
Amen.
Because if you don't correct them, they're going to continue to go down a bad path and it's going to get worse and worse.
Amen.
And within the church, when we love and forgive, it doesn't mean that we ignore things and we never address sinful behavior. We have to deal with sin.
Amen.
But we don't do that out of a heart of unforgiveness. We do it because we love. So warn those that are unruly. We got to warn those that are getting out of line. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I want you to get this. The spirit has to be of meekness, but the goal is always restoration. The goal is always reconciliation. Jesus taught his disciples before he ever ascended into heaven. He taught them about church discipline. The Apostle Paul writes about it in detail about church discipline. And church discipline is a reality so that we keep one another accountable.
Amen. Amen.
Warn the unruly. Next he says, comfort the faint-hearted. Comfort the faint-hearted. This is the idea of being faint-hearted. Literally translated would be small-souled. Like your soul, your inner being. The idea would be like being beat down in spirit. It's somebody who's discouraged. Your spirit is small.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you guys?
Amen.
Have you ever felt that way?
Amen.
Where just on the inside, you just feel kind of crushed, kind of small.
Amen.
It's faint-hearted. It's being overwhelmed. And what we want to do is comfort them.
Amen.
Remember, we talked about that word earlier today. To comfort literally means to come alongside. So when you see somebody who is faint-hearted, somebody who is down, somebody who is discouraged, somebody who you can just tell they're overwhelmed, what you do is you come alongside them. You come beside them and you comfort them and you encourage them. That's what we need to do. What we tend to do is be really loving and be like, what is wrong with you? Right? Or you can just tell somebody's down and you're like, dude, what's wrong with you? Have you guys ever heard somebody say, when they see somebody who's kind of sad or depressed, and go up to them and be like, dude, who died?
Amen.
Have you ever heard that? Heard that? When I was in junior high school, yeah, one of the kids at school was all sad and down, and I was actually in a good mood that day and real happy, and I was like, dude, what's wrong with you? Who died? My grandma. I know, it's awful. I still feel bad about it to this day. You know, sometimes somebody literally died.
Amen.
But sometimes people are just faint-hearted.
Amen.
And so we got to be sensitive to other people. We got to care about the person.
Amen.
Comfort the faint-hearted. Next, he says, support the weak. Support the weak. And I love this word, support. It means to hold firmly. It means to be devoted to. The idea is exercising zealous care for somebody. This is, I know some of you, this will resonate, that mama bear mentality to protect your kids, to watch out for them, to hold them, and to guard them. That's what this idea of supporting is. Like when somebody is weak in their spirit, you don't abandon them, but you hold on to them.
Amen.
And support them. It was big news. A lot of you saw the young man, lifeguard, saved that kid. Did anybody else see that? Kind of a big deal in the news. Listen, that lifeguard, that young man, supported that other young man when he was weak.
Amen.
I mean, that's the picture. That's the picture. Like somebody is weak, they are drowning, they are overwhelmed, and you hold them up.
Amen.
And by the way, somebody else had to come in and help the lifeguard. Right?
Amen.
It was more than one person coming together to help support one another to literally save life. And what a great picture of what it ought to be in the church. When somebody is weak, we go to help them. And when you see people help needing help, we all come together to help and to hold one another up. That's supporting the weak. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Let me read that verse one more time. We need that again. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves."
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about what I want. And it's not about you. And it's not about what you want. First of all, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what he calls us to do is to love him and to love others.
Right.
And so I want to support the weak. And by the way, you're not always the strong one. I mean, sometimes you read this and you think, well, there are certain people in the church who are the strong ones and certain people in the church who are weak ones. And I want to tell you, we're all those things at different times.
Amen.
Today you may be strong. Today you may be weak. And next week it might be flip-flopped. You understand that?
Amen.
It's really important that you get that. I've seen too many people who have been broken, who have been burned out, who have been overwhelmed because everybody around the church thought they were strong, but they were struggling.
Amen.
And they were faint-hearted. And they were broken and they were weak, but everybody thought they were the strong one. And so when that strong one in everybody's mind wasn't there taking care of everybody else's problems, they're like, well, what's wrong with them? And they get abandoned. And they get ignored. Listen, we all ought to be looking out for each other.
Amen.
Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We want to do what's good to help other people, to build them up. And then he says, be patient toward all. Who needs patience?
Everybody.
Who needs patience?
Everybody.
Everybody does.
Everybody.
Even Thelda?
Especially.
She knew when we caught eye contact, she was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Some of y'all are scared to look at me when I'm preaching because you just never know. Listen, we all need patience.
Amen.
The word patience carries the idea of being long-tempered instead of short-tempered. It means that it takes a while before you're going to get angry or frustrated or impatient. We need that. We need to be patient one with another. And then he says we need to refuse retaliation. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Friends, listen to me. If this cycle never stops, if someone doesn't decide to be the one who's going to forgive, somebody's got to be the one that says, I'm not going to try to get back at you.
Amen.
You guys have ever heard of gang wars? Do you know how long gang wars last? Do you know how long gang wars last? Until everybody's dead. This gang attacks this gang. Then they retaliate, and then they retaliate, and it goes on literally for generations. And it never stops until everybody dies. Unless somebody wakes up and says, I'm not doing this anymore.
Amen.
We're just killing ourselves. And you know what? The scriptures warn the church against backbiting.
Amen.
Because you know what happens if you backbite? Then you devour one another.
Amen.
They're just destroying each other. For what?
Right.
So we can be right? So we can have the last word? Come on. No. Don't return evil for evil unto any man. Well, what if they're outside the church? For any man. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans 12, 17 to 21. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
I have to look no further than my Savior, who when he was nailed to the cross, beaten and bloodied and dying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Amen.
And those who would hate you and revile you, those who would despise you and persecute you, you have to love them.
Amen.
You have to forgive them.
Right.
You have to. And I don't know if anybody's ever done you dirty or not, but if they have, you're not alone.
Amen.
You're not alone. And you can't recompense evil for evil.
Amen.
Actively pursue what is good, but ever follow that which is good. Follow means to pursue, to chase, to press eagerly after something. Ever follow that which is good. Have any of you guys ever really wanted something real bad? So you just like, you pursued it, you chased after it? I mean, Zach's got a wife, so I know he did. Pursued her, chased after her. Right, Brother Terry?
Amen.
You, Mabel,
amen.
I know. I've heard the stories about him chasing you, Sister Mabel.
Amen. Amen.
That was back in the 1900s, too. Back in them ancient days. I know. There's some young men here right now chasing after some girl. Y'all should pray for those girls because they might get caught. Pursuing after something. And we are supposed to pursue, follow after, chase after that which is good. We seek after it with everything we have. We have a passionate desire to do what is good. What our flesh wants is to give evil for evil. But what the scriptures call us to do is chase after that which is good.
Amen.
Amen. I know I already said it, but I don't want to miss it. If we don't render evil for evil and we pursue that which is good, it doesn't mean we approve of everything somebody does.
Amen. Right.
It doesn't mean we abandon biblical truth. It does not mean we remove appropriate consequences. It means that even when correction is needed, our goal is reconciliation,
amen,
not retribution.
Amen.
Everybody get that?
Amen.
And you know the only place you can figure that out is in somebody's heart. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you."
Amen.
Forgiveness is not pretending that nothing happened. Forgiveness is not saying what happened is acceptable. Forgiveness is surrendering personal vengeance to God and refusing to repay sin with sin.
Amen.
And I know a lot of people struggle with forgiving others because they think forgiveness means that you forgive it and you forget it. It's not what the Bible says. You don't have the capacity to forgive.
Amen.
God can.
Right.
He can cast that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. You can't do that. And if you're like me, you remember all the things you want to forget, and you forget all the things you want to remember. But I'm telling you, forgiveness is absolutely essential. It's vital, and we can't ignore it. We have to forgive. We must.
Amen. Amen.
But it's not saying that what was done is okay, and it's not saying there won't be any consequences. It's just saying, I'm not going to seek vengeance. I'm going to leave that up to God. By the way, God will do a better job dealing with sin than you would anyway.
Amen.
So we want to have this heart. We want to have this heart that says we're going to seek peace. And warn the unruly, and we're going to comfort the feeble-minded, and we're going to support the meek, but we're going to be patient to all men because we are following after that which is good, both to among ourselves within the church and to all men. I'm going to ask our musicians to get ready and come forward right now, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you're able. And we're going to prepare for a song of invitation. I just want to invite you this afternoon, if the Holy Spirit's convicted your heart about anything, that you get right with him. If you're holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart, that you'd lay that down at the altar today. If there's a decision that you need to make for Jesus, that you do it today. I just know this, I know he's good.
Amen.
And I'm not. And I desperately need him, and so do you. If he's convicting you, come while we sing.